O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is my part and soul, and therefore penance and I are non-different. Purport. The penance by which one can see the personality of Godhead face to face is to be understood as devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. Because only by discharging devotional service and transcendental love can one approach the Lord. Such penance is the internal potency of the Lord and is non-different from Him. Such acts of internal potency are exhibited by non-attachment for material enjoyment. The living entities are engaged in the conditions of material bondage because of their propensity for overlordship. But by engagement in the devotional service of the Lord, one becomes detached from this enjoying spirit. The devotees automatically become detached from worldly enjoyment. And this detachment is the result of perfect knowledge. Therefore, the penance of devotional service includes knowledge and detachment, and that is the manifestation of the transcendental potency. One cannot enjoy material illusory prosperity if he desires to return home back to God. One who has no information of the transcendental bliss in the association of the Lord foolishly desires to enjoy this temporary material happiness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if someone sincerely wants to see the Lord and at the same time wants to enjoy this material world, he is considered to be a fool only. One who wants to remain here in the material world for material enjoyment has no business entering into the eternal kingdom of God. The Lord favors such a foolish devotee by snatching away all that he may possess in the material world. If such a foolish devotee of the Lord tries to recoup his position, then the merciful Lord again snatches away all that he may have possessed. By such repeated failures in material prosperity, he becomes very unpopular with his family members and friends. In the material world, family members and friends honor persons who are very successful in accumulating wealth by any means. The foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance by the grace of the Lord. And at the end, the devotee becomes perfectly happy, being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, penance and devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary submission or by being forced by the Lord, is necessary for attaining perfection. And thus, such penance is the internal potency of the Lord. One cannot, however, be engaged in penance of devotional service without being completely free from all sins. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only a person completely free from all reactions of sins can engage himself in the worship of the Lord. Bhagavati was sinless, and therefore he faithfully discharged the advice of the Lord, tapa, tapa. And the Lord, being satisfied with him, awarded him the desired result. Therefore, only love and penance combined can please the Lord, and thus one is able to attain His complete mercy. He directs the sinless, and the sinless devotee attains the highest perfection of life. Om Jnanatminam Dasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurniditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Tapitam Jena Bhutale Shrayam Rupa Kalamitam Tapati Shabalamitam Mandeham Sri Gurave
Shukam Shri Tathapata Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sarvasantam Shavanatatam Tam Tam Sadivam Shadvetam Shavadrutam Arjuna Sevitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shavagana Dodita Sri Shakan Tam Shah Hey Krishna Padana Sindho Dinamanda Jagatpate Rokesha Govita Tanta Radha Tanta Namosite Tata Tanshanamo Gangi Kaate Vrindane Shri Vrishabhanam Sushedevi Pramami Hori Priye Vanchako Padrum Vyascha Vivasanto Kaevacha Svahidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnevyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Devana Pramavichananda Shri Adveta Gadadhar Shri Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prajadishnam mayatatra, tvai karma vimohite, tapo me hridyam sakshat, atmaham tapasamdaka. Yesterday at the end of the class, a very interesting question was raised as to why austerity works. Why is it that by doing austerity you get some result? Why not by whistling or by some other method? Why austerity? Why is it that there's some result from it? So here it's answered that with in devote that on the spiritual platform, real austerity consists of devotional service. And devotional service represents the internal potency of Krishna. So here it's indicated that the tapasya being referred to is devotional service to Krishna. And devotional service to Krishna represents the internal potency of the Lord. Therefore, it's powerful. There are other forms of tapasya, austerity, that are powerful for some other reason. And I don't really know how it works. Hiranyakashipu performed austerity and he got tremendous power. Other people perform austerities and they get power. Exactly how that works is another question. But here, this penance means the penance of devotional service. Devotional service is more powerful than Krishna. It attracts even Krishna. It's the original energy of the Lord by which the relationship is established between Krishna and the living being. So when one enters into the service of that internal energy, his eternal relationship with Krishna is revived. And only by that method, only by entering into devotional service, can one understand Krishna or enter into the spiritual world. Bhaktya mama vijanati yamanyas chasmi bhajatatama tato me tatata yadva vishate padanantara. Vishate means enter. One can only enter into that spiritual world by devotional service. One can only understand Krishna factually by devotional service. In the beginning, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvata. One who factually knows the nature of my appearance and activities can go back to Godhead and not take birth again. But who can understand Krishna factually? Bhaktya mamaja. Only the person who performs devotional service. That means the devotees can understand Krishna's appearance and activities. Others can't. Acts of internal potency are exhibited by non-attachment for material enjoyment. Bhaktir Kartasyan Bhava Virakti Ranjan Trichha. in Rabindranath Guru Prabhu's class, he was talking about parijanabhava, about realization. So this is one symptom of realization. When one has realization of the internal potency, there is detachment, virakti. Therefore, if we see that someone's supposed to be an advanced devotee, but he's showing signs of material attachment, especially attachment to intoxication, gambling, eating, illicit sex, then we have to wonder. This is the disqualification of the sadhus, that they're absorbed in devotional service and absorbed in sense gratification. You can't be absorbed in both. Either you're absorbed in matter or you're absorbed in spirit, or you're someplace mixed. But you're not in pure devotional service while you're attached to sense gratification. That's explained here. Janyati ashu vairagyam jnanam chayavaritika vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga priyajita. If one's engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, then automatically, janyati ashu, ashu means not after a long time, quickly, easily. Janyati ashu vairagyam jnanam chayavaritika. Then knowledge and detachment automatically follow. And Srila Prabhupada cites a very interesting situation here. If someone wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, he wants to enjoy sense gratification. I read someplace a few days ago, there was some conversation, and Prabhupada said that to some devotees, why are you still attached to sex life? Then he answered his own question, because you want to be. Because you want to be. So this is the problem, that one wants to advance in devotional service, at the same time, he wants to enjoy sense gratification. What was that, St. Augustine?
Lord, give me chastity, but not just yet.
Yes. Lord, give me chastity, but not just yet. So this is the problem. One desires to serve Krishna, but one still is affected by desires for sense gratification. So if one is sincerely trying to serve Krishna, but affected by this problem, then Krishna sees. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna says, this murkha, this fool, he wants to get the poison of sense gratification by worshipping my lotus feet. But Krishna says, I'm not a fool, I'm intelligent. Well, why should I give him sense gratification by which he's going to become unhappy and keep coming back? An unsatisfied customer is going to keep coming back. Still have a problem. Do something. So Krishna says, I'll take everything away from him, and instead of that poison, I'll give him the nectar of my lotus feet. Yasyaham nugrunami hadishe tatanam shana. If I actually favor someone, then I gradually take away his material wealth. I gradually take it away from him, so that he's forced to surrender. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere defines tapasya as voluntary sacrifice, voluntary inconvenience or voluntary suffering for spiritual advancement. Voluntary inconvenience. Just child doesn't want to go to school. Of course, that's not voluntary usually. But some, voluntarily, we give up something for the sake of some higher principle, some higher attainment. That's tapasya. But here Srila Prabhupada indicates, even involuntarily, Prabhupada's counting, all right, that's tapasya also. You're forced. Now that's involuntary tapasya. Not his usual definition of the term, but you're involuntary tapasya. You're stuck with it. You have to suffer. This is material nature's arrangement, or this is Krishna's arrangement. the materialists, of course, they have to suffer. That's also good for them. That's also good for them. Otherwise, if we say God is all good, what does it mean? It means even if he gives suffering, it's out of goodwill. He's not like one of these mischievous children that take pleasure in tearing insects apart, or scientists who like to do horrible things to monkeys just to see what happens. Krishna has the welfare of the living, and it's Suradam Sarvabhutana. He's the best friend of all living beings. Then why is he giving suffering? Because it's good. I have a cousin, who has a son who went very bad. She comes from a very good family. I'm laughing when I feel she comes from a good family. And married a nice boy and so on. But the son became a drug taker and every kind of rogue, just really bad, young boy. And they tried this and they tried that, and they were so distraught. And as a last gasp, they sent him to some institution where they're super tough with you. You cannot do anything. You have to have permission for everything you do. Everything is discipline, more discipline. And the result is, the last report I heard, the boy has become good. So it's not that the parents hated the kid and therefore sent him to some mean institution. It's out of love and concern that we know he's going dead. We have what should we do? So even when Krishna sends suffering, that's also good. For the materialist, he sends suffering by the laws of nature. That's good. That's good for them. And even if you try and reverse it, still it will come. A certain amount of happiness comes automatically. A certain amount of distress comes automatically. Therefore, that's the evidence given by Prahlad Maharaj, that why do you have to work for happiness? Distress comes automatically. Happiness will also come automatically. But it will come in some certain proportion. If you work like an ass, still you'll not get more happiness. And no matter what you do, still you'll not get less distress. Your science, your this, your that, certain amount of distress will come, certain amount of happiness will come by nature's arrangement. That's good. In devotional service, a certain amount of gratitude. For the devotee, when there's suffering, that's Krishna's direct mercy. When there's some difficulty for the materialist, its material energy is working. But when there's some suffering for the devotee, it's understood to be Krishna's direct kindness. Krishna has various energies, Prasya Shakti, Vividaya, Shudite, and he can use them interchangeably. The electrician can use the same electricity to heat, to cool, to do whatever. So Krishna has various energies, and he can deal with different people different ways, or he can deal with different people apparently the same way, but through different energies. So Krishna deals with the devotee through the spiritual energy. It's understood. If some devotee has some difficulty, or is, yes, but going some suffering. It's Krishna's mercy. From another point of view, everything is Krishna's mercy. Maya, another meaning of Maya, is mercy. Yes, another meaning of Maya is mercy. When the living entities are being smashed, the karmis and materialists are being smashed, it's Krishna's mercy. It's Krishna's mercy for their reparation. And a devotee takes it that if I'm being smashed, then it's also Krishna's mercy. And because he takes it that way, it is Krishna's mercy in the internal sense. The materialist, he's getting smashed, he says, there's no God. how could I be suffering like this if there were God? So in the absence of God consciousness, the energy that's acting upon him is the material energy. And the devotee thinks that I should be getting worse, but Krishna has minimized it. So what's coming to him is by Krishna's spiritual energy, because he's turning toward Krishna. He's appreciating the presence of Krishna. So, for the devotee, involuntary or voluntary trouble is counted as penance. If you don't undertake, therefore why not undertake some voluntary inconvenience? Otherwise it will come involuntarily anyway. Then why not voluntarily accept some inconvenience? That will be good for us. Hmm. Otherwise, even if it's forced upon us, that's also good. One will be purified. But here it's indicated that one should be sinless. Yesham tvantitam papam jananam punyakaram. Te tvangumoha nirmukta padam te maham yudhankitam. The person who's come to the end of all sins, tvantitam papam, and whose activities are pious activities, te tvangumoha nirmukta, he can be freed from duality and illusion, from this bodily concept of life. And when he's freed from the bodily concept of life, Ramabhutra he becomes joyful. Nashochati, the Kanchati. No hankering, no lamenting. Sarasarveshu, Bhuteshu. He's equipoised in all circumstances. And one bhakti bhutekara. He comes to the platform of pure devotional service. So pure devotional service is the real business of the living being. And it's the real type of penance. Otherwise, penance is in the three modes of material nature. You can read about it in Bhagavad Gita. There's penance in goodness, penance in passion, penance in ignorance. Those who are torturing themselves. There's a certain festival in Malaysia and some other places where they pierce their bodies with hooks and torture themselves. Tapasya in the mode of ignorance. Very spiritual festival. So one doesn't get the benefit of spiritual advancement by penance in ignorance. But by performing penance as prescribed by the acharyas for advancement in devotional service, one makes spiritual advancement and goes back home back to Godhead. All right, we'll stop here and take some questions, if there are some.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that devotional services are penance, but many times devotional service doesn't seem to be penance. It seems to be nice.
That means you're advanced. For the materialist, it would be a penance. You get up at what time? You eat what? You know, he's thinking it's a penance. But because you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, you think this is nice. The penance itself becomes enjoyable. Because you're, after all, the penance means the internal potency of the Lord. The internal potency of the Lord is Krishna's pleasure potency. Otherwise, how can one perform penance if it's actually miserable? Very hard. But because the penance of devotional service is a manifestation of Krishna's pleasure potency, one enjoys susutam. It's very happy. Yes, penance is enjoyment. By penance, he's thinking of Krishna. Just like we're following Kadashi. So it's a little extra penance. But the devotees are enjoying. We're chanting more today, we're eating less today, we're enjoying the Kadashi. Right? Enjoying. But people in Govardhan, you see these people circumambulating Govardhan. You know, that's very hard work. It's a little bit tough. But especially the local people, they go around and they enjoy so much. They really enjoy. And the Goshamis, they were executing Vitapak, serious, heavy penance. But it's described, Anandam Buddhi Bharti Nikashpunam. They were enjoying that game. Radha Krishna, Gunasmite Ramaguri Lines, Anandane Sanmohita. They were intoxicated with spiritual ecstasy. So it's a sign of spiritual advancement. One enjoys this so-called penance. And materialist, just the thought of a cold shower is too much. Yeah, that's another question. Yes?
Maharaj, you said that the sahaja is tending towards two. You want to have sense gratification and also devotional service. And in the Bible, it's also said that you cannot serve two masters.
Mm.
But shall we then say advise people to just choose one way or the other?
In the Bible, it's that I mentioned that the sahajas try to have both things, sense gratification and devotional service. And in the Bible also it said that one cannot serve two masters. So should we then advise people to choose one or the other? We advise people to choose the other. We don't advise them to choose sense gratification. No. And we don't advise them to do both. We don't say yes. Therefore, Krishna's this whole process of devotional service. Of course, sense gratification has to be maintained to a certain extent. The senses need to be kept alive. The body needs to be held together. So that's accepted as a matter of necessity. But we don't advise that wallow in it, gratify those senses, and chant Hare Krishna. The senses need to be gratified. We recommend that you gratify all of your senses in the service of Krishna's senses. They'll automatically be gratified. If you please Krishna's senses, your senses will be gratified more. You don't need to separately make some arrangement for your own sense gratification. Lord Maharaj gives the example. If you decorate your face, then separately you don't have to decorate your face in the mirror. Right? So that face will automatically be decorated if you decorate the original face. So if you decorate Krishna, you'll automatically be decorated. If you please Krishna, you'll automatically be pleased. When Jesus Christ says a man can't serve two masters, his purpose is to say that you should surrender to God, Krishna. So that's our message also. Bhakti Uttam, pure devotional service. Yes?
I would ask a question. Sometimes the
opposite question.
Yes,
okay.
Sometimes the tapasya seems to be extremely difficult. Even, I think, even for advanced devotees. Is it because we said it's so hard?
Sometimes the tapasya seems to be extremely difficult even for advanced devotees. Sometimes it is extremely difficult. And therefore, in that kind of devotion, it's recommended that one should accept that austerity which he can reasonably expect to perform. And that may differ from person to person. If we try to, like Raghunath Das Goswami was living finally on the rejected rice, that discarded from the Jagannath temple. After they washed the plates, some rice would go down the drain and he would catch that rice and take it. And he was happy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and encouraged him. Oh, Raghunath, you're feasting and you're not inviting me. But if we try to imitate Raghunath Das Goswami, we'll die. We'll die. What's the great accomplishment for us? So we have to adjust according to what's reasonable. It doesn't mean that we say, well, you know, it's reasonable for me, and a couple cigarettes a day. But within the guidelines given by our spiritual masters, we should accept penance which we can reasonably expect to perform. Srila Prabhupada gave a guideline one time for engaging devotees. He said you should always set some goal for them which is a little higher so that they have to endeavor. You set it too low, then everybody slacks off. And if you set it too high, then everyone becomes discouraged. I couldn't do it. It's not possible for me. But if you set some reasonable goal, and then do it, and then you may go to the next goal also. In athletics, so that's how they do it. They, you know, you practice, or you lift this much, and then you can lift that much, and so on.
Yesterday there was a question, what is the greatest austerity? And the answer was working in cooperation with the devotees. What would you say?
Yeah, I'd probably say the same thing. Well, maybe worse than that is living with oneself. That's one of those forced austerities. Internal potency means, of course, Krishna has three energies, the external potency or material energy, marginal energy, a living entity, and his internal energy or spiritual energy. So it means Krishna's spiritual energy, or especially devotional service is Krishna's internal pleasure energy. So Krishna has different energies. One energy by which he enjoys pleasure and gives pleasure to others is the energy of devotional service. Another question? Yes, okay.
Is that instead of the detail about how Maya can become just being mercy?
How Maya can be?
Can just being mercy.
Can be seen as mercy? How Maya can be seen as mercy? Yes. When a child is punished, that's actually the mercy of the parents of the child. What is it? Spare the rod and spoil the child. You're not being merciful if you're sparing too much. Or the king is advised to kill a murderer. That's his mercy on the murderer. The murderer is freed from the effects of a sinful reaction. He gets it all at once. So usually we think of mercy as being soft-heartedness and giving people what they most want. But sometimes mercy means harshness. The doctor who cuts is not being vicious, he's being merciful. So, or sometimes a sadhu has to say something which is cutting. It doesn't mean he's merciless. It means he's cutting. Yes.
Sometimes this example given that there's two boats and you stand with one foot on the other and the other foot on the other boat, and the boats take further go from each other, they drift from each other. So does it mean that ultimately there comes one moment that you have to choose?
Sometimes it's said that there are two boats and you've got one foot in one foot in the other and they're drifting apart. Does it mean that there's a moment at which you have to choose? I don't know that there's in everyone's life a dramatic moment at which one has to choose. But we're always offered that choice between devotional service and material service. And devotional service takes us in one direction, and material engagement takes us in the other direction. So that choice is always before us. And sometimes, of course, we make large choices in that regard. Choice to join the Hare Krishna movement, choice to surrender to a spiritual master, choice to follow regular principles. So these are large choices. And then some within that, there's the other choices. This is surrender. To accept everything that's favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject everything unfavorable. That means Krishna consciousness is going this way, so whatever will help us, we accept. And Maya is taking us that way, so we give those things back. Another question?
Just recently, a friend of mine
Child's room was burned down, including devotional paraphernalia. Yes. So spiritual life is not dependent on a particular paraphernalia. One has to see it as Krishna's mercy there. That Aurelia was getting some mercy by doing things with my devotional paraphernalia. But Krishna had a different idea. He wanted to teach me something about the nature of houses. So it's good for me. When I was a little child, across the street from my house there was a meadow. And some of us boys built a little fort there. And we used to, it was so nice that you could stay there during the rain even, and you could do so many things. And we were, after it was done, we added things and decorated it and did all sorts of stuff. And then one day we came and the whole thing had been smashed. Other boys had come and smashed everything. That's the nature of houses. You invest so much energy, so much of your self in it, and at the end it's just smashed. So now big grown-up boys are doing that on a larger scale. Investing millions of dollars and building big houses and decorating them, so it will also be smashed. So the question? Yeah.
Maharaj, if one believes in God and then some very terrible things happen in his life and then he loses this faith, then how can we see this as mercy?
Yes. How can we see it as mercy? Someone has faith in God and then something happens, he loses his faith. It means his faith was not very, you know, what is that faith? As long as everything's going good, I have faith in God. What is his conception of God? You know, God is that entity who's responsible for making my life nice. That's his, my job is enjoyment, and his job is making sure that I enjoy. And now he's belched on the deal. He's reneged on his side of the bargain, so I reject him. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is required so that one can understand the science of God. Not just a sentiment. I'm having such a nice life. God is so good. Ooh, life has gone bad. So I've got, there's no God. One has to understand something about God's nature and God's yes, God's way of working. Therefore, scripture is with him. Not only our scripture, the Christian scripture, every scripture they justify the ways of God. Amen.
People still don't like it.
Still don't like it.
They don't like the way it does it. They think, you know, if I was God, I could do a better job.
Give them the job for a day. Even if they could do a good job of it, they wouldn't be able to take the criticism.
Austerity be aimed at controlling the senses, and how much should be aimed at pleasing Krishna?
How much should austerity be aimed at controlling the senses, and how much at pleasing Krishna. Control of the senses means to please, to engage them for the pleasure of Krishna. Vijitenam vijikesha seva. When you use your senses for the pleasure of Krishna's senses, you're automatically controlled. You're automatically controlled. If you're aiming at a target, you're not separately withdrawing your attention from everything else. You're focusing on that. Automatically your focus is withdrawn from other things. If you're engaged in the service of Krishna, automatically you're not engaged in something else. If you came to the temple, automatically you didn't go to the Mecca. So, separate attempt to control the senses is problematic and fraught with difficulties. Yet Padapankatapa Lashavi Lasha Bhaktya, Kumaras say that the yogis are undergoing great effort to control their senses, to stop the waves of desire from washing over them one after another. And still they're failing. Why? That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even one of the senses in which the mind can be fixed, that becomes fixed, can carry away the intelligence even of a person who's trying to control it. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that the heart is not actually becoming purified. You're stopping senses, but you're not purifying the heart. But if you engage your senses in the service of Krishna's senses, then first of all, your senses are automatically engaged. They're not engaged in something else. Which is better, because stopping the senses want to be active. If you just stop them, they'll try to break out. A child, you'd say, don't do anything, just sit there. After 2 minutes, he's doing something, some other kind of mischief. There was one boy, devotee, I won't mention whose son he was. But every 2 minutes, something, you know. First he was clanging the cartels together, then he's breaking a piece of furniture, then he's picking the leaves off the tulsi plant, then he's, every 2 minutes, something. And we tell the boy, don't do anything. It's impossible. He's a boy, he has to do something. But if you give him some better engagement, then he's happy. So if you're engaged in the service of Krishna, automatically you're not engaged in the service of mind. And you're not idle, you're doing something. Idle means the position from which you have to go to do something. Because you can't remain idle. But if you're engaged in Krishna's service, you're not idle, and you're not in mind. And you're purifying the heart. And you're enjoying. So automatically, if you engage in devotional service, you don't have to undertake a separate program to control the senses. That's included in devotional service. Is that okay?
I'm just wondering about the initiation also you have to promise tomorrow.
That means that you're going to engage your senses in Krishna service. You're not going to use your tongue for something other than Krishna service. You're going to use it for Krishna service. The senses will be engaged for Krishna service, otherwise you won't be using them. They may offer you some nonsense food, you say, no, I just take Krishna prasad. So in this way, we have some principle that the senses should be controlled. We don't say, well, you just chant Hare Krishna, don't worry about controlling your senses. No, you control your senses. That is one of our principles. But how do we control our senses? We control them by engaging them according to Krishna's direction, the direction of the spiritual master. Even there, it's not that we say, well, I have a license to eat, let me eat as much as I want, anything. As long as it's prasad, it's eat, eat, eat. We have some principle there. Not eat too little, not eat too much. So there's regulation how to perform devotion. Devotional service is not just some sentiment. Ooh, I'm performing devotional service. There's a methodology to it. There's a system to it. So if you follow the system, we'll get it. Yes?
Does Krishna ever give a test to his devotees that the devotee... does he ever test the devotee to allow him to come
Does he test the devotee?
To the point
where he fails the test? Does Krishna give tests that will fail? Yes. And we see, empirically, we notice that people are tested and they fail. But if one sticks to the process of devotional service, even if he fails, then the failure will lead to later success. Srila Prabhupada gave the example. I don't think it's in Nectar of Devotion. He was commenting on Nectar of Devotion. That Rupa Goswami says that devotional service is like that if you fall in devotional service, then devotional service is the ground, and you pick yourself up on the same ground. For the materialists, if they fail in something, they commit some sinful activity, then they have to perform prayaschitta, some penance, some purificatory ceremony, some this, some
atonement.
Atonement. But Srila Prabhupada said for a Krishna conscious person, there's no atonement. The atonement is devotional service itself. Because there's no higher purifying principle than devotional service, so why should he do something else? If he continues with his devotional service, that's penance. And all right, I fell. But it doesn't mean, oh, now I have to go away. Somehow or other, I have to continue in devotional service. Then I practice. It has the over your pain. Practice, in one sense, implies failure. Practice makes perfect. That means you're not perfect. That means there's some failure. So even if there's failure, that, therefore that verse is there. That even if one immaturely falls down, still he's not in the same position as the materialist. Even if he gives up his respect duties because of some worldly mindedness, still he's not like the ordinary materialist. So sometimes Krishna cuts us down. You're thinking you're such hot stuff, you think you're a great devotee, you think you're this bad. Let me throw you on if you can. And all.